Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, In the Swarm, Digital Prospects is a Short Philosophical and Cultural Critique by Byung-Chul Han, first published in German and later translated into English. Framed as an untimely meditation, it examines how digital media reshapes public life, political participation, and everyday perception. Han does not treat social networks as neutral tools. Instead, he argues that they produce a fragmented form of collective existence in which isolated individuals are connected, but not truly united. The book is less a technical study of the internet than a theoretical reflection on what digital communication does to community, attention, and democratic discourse. Its purpose is to challenge optimistic claims that platforms like Twitter or Facebook automatically strengthen activism or public debate. Through concise, polemical arguments, Han presents digital culture as a space of immediacy, outrage, surveillance, and dispersion, raising difficult questions about whether genuine political action can still emerge under these conditions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the digital swarm is connected, but not genuinely collective. A central idea in the book is Han's distinction between a swarm and a real political collective. The digital swarm consists of many isolated users who react at the same time, but who do not form a stable we or a shared project. This matters because Han links political agency to cohesion, endurance, and common purpose. Online participation may look massive, yet he argues it often lacks the organizational depth of a crowd, movement, or public. People can comment, share, and amplify messages, but these acts remain dispersed and short-lived. Han's critique targets the illusion that visible online activity automatically equals collective power. For him, digital connectivity can increase exposure while reducing solidarity, because participants are pulled into individualized reactions rather than common deliberation. The result is a form of public life that is busy and vocal but structurally weak. Secondly, shitstorms reveal how digital communication rewards impulsive outrage. Han treats the shitstorm as one of the most characteristic phenomena of digital culture. He uses it to describe the rapid escalation of outrage online, where emotion spread quickly, attention collapses into scandal, and public judgment becomes immediate rather than reflective. The point is not simply that online users can be rude or aggressive. Rather, the structure of digital platforms encourages instant response, visibility, and repetition, making outrage an especially effective communicative form. In this framework, scandal becomes more important than discussion, and moral posture can replace sustained reasoning. Han contrasts this with slower analog forms of communication, where delay created space for self-correction and reflection. The digital environment, by comparison, intensifies the present moment and turns public discourse into a series of reactive bursts. His argument is that outrage can look politically charged while actually undermining the conditions needed for serious criticism or democratic judgment. Thirdly, information overload weakens thought, attention, and political judgment. Another major theme is Han's claim that digital life floods people with information faster than they can think through it. He argues that thought requires distinction, pause, and interpretation, while digital systems encourage constant switching, accumulation, and reaction. When information overflows, it becomes harder to separate what is important from what is merely noisy or urgent. This is not only a cognitive problem, but also a political one, because citizens overwhelmed by data are less able to evaluate power, identify priorities, or imagine alternatives. Han suggests that the digital environment produces a condition in which people are always informed, but not necessarily capable of understanding. The same logic appears in his discussion of algorithms, which sort behavior and attention in ways that remain mostly invisible to users. His concern is that digital mediation may reduce reflective depth by rewarding immediacy, repetition, and consumption, leaving less room for critical judgment or sustained concentration. Fourthly, digital freedom and digital control begin to merge. Han's critique is especially forceful when he discusses surveillance and control. He argues that digital societies blur the line between freedom and domination because users willingly generate the data that can be used to profile, predict, and influence them. This creates a more subtle form of power than older models of coercion. People feel free because they choose, post, and express themselves. Yet the same activities can be harvested and analyzed by platforms, markets, and security systems. Han is interested in how voluntary participation becomes a mechanism of governance. In this sense, digital communication does not simply add control to freedom. It makes the two harder to distinguish. The book connects this logic to the broader rise of data-driven management, where behavior is continuously measured and optimized. Han's warning is that a society built on seamless connectivity may normalize monitoring so thoroughly that control no longer appears as control at all. Lastly, the erosion of public space limits democratic action and future-making. Han repeatedly returns to the weakening of public space as a political category. For him, democracy depends on spaces of encounter, distance, and shared attention, where disagreement can be transformed into argument. Digital culture, however, tends to privatize expression, intensify self-display, and collapse boundaries between public and private. As a result, civic life becomes less about common orientation and more about personalized performance. Hahn also argues that the digital swarm is trapped in the present, reacting to immediate stimuli rather than forming a future-oriented political imagination. This is a crucial part of his broader diagnosis, a society that cannot sustain collective memory, public deliberation, or long-term goals will struggle to generate meaningful politics. His argument is not simply nostalgic for older media, but concerned with whether digital forms can support the slower, more durable practices that democratic life requires. The book, therefore, links communication technology to the architecture of political possibility itself. In conclusion, In the Swarm, digital prospects will be most useful for readers interested in philosophy, media theory, political thought, and critical cultural analysis. It is especially relevant for students and scholars who want a compact but provocative account of why social media may weaken rather than strengthen democratic life. Readers who are already familiar with debates about attention, surveillance, online outrage, and platform power will find Hahn's perspective valuable because it is highly condensed and conceptually sharp. The book stands out from many other critiques of digital culture because it does not focus primarily on empirical case studies or policy proposals. Instead, it offers a theoretical diagnosis of the social form created by digital communication itself. That makes it less practical in an immediate sense, but more useful as a framework for interpreting contemporary media behavior. Its strongest value lies in how it connects isolated online habits to larger questions about public space, political agency, and the conditions for shared action. Even readers who disagree with Hahn will likely find his argument useful as a provocation that clarifies what is at stake in digital life. If you would like to support Byung-Chul Hahn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.